6 minutes after 1 o'clock, it's Monday. And coming up momentarily, Bernie Tocchi, Inside a Cult, Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. So if you're if you've heard about stuff like this but have never heard the story from the inside out, he'll tell us all about that. Well, we're going to find out about cults and a guy who knows something about it. Mind control, child abuse, scandalous deaths. A former cult member shares the horror of living with one. Bernie Tocchi is a former member of the Church of God Restoration, which had been publicly denounced as a cult. The church turned his wife and kids against him when he left. He chronicles some of the more horrific things he saw during his time in the cult in the book called Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. And Bernie Tocchi, good morning.
Good morning. Excited to be on your show.
And thank you so kindly. I trust I got your name correct?
That's close enough. It does not matter.
Ah. Very well. Well, I know what it's like to get the name wrong. I hate it when that happens.
No, that's great.
All right. Now, first of all, tell us something about this church, this cult, and how did you get into it?
Okay. It's a gradual process. The reason I wrote the book is that I wish I had the book 10, 15 years ago before I joined the group. I could have known all the rules. They are very slick, very sly. They bring you in. You understand a little bit. As the time goes along, more rules and more rules get added. Finally, you've come to a roadblock that, wait a minute, this is just too much. You expect me to do that? I just can't. At that point, your wife is already caught up, or your husband is caught up in it, and the cult will usually persuade one of them to split. So I saw the nasty part of it. I saw a lot of the teachings, a lot of the training. I put it all in the book. My book is basically an outline of what took place, my experience, full of little short stories, different things. You get a view of what is inside.
Well, you're going to have to help us here because we don't have the book. So
yes.
Try to bring us up to speed.
Okay. They don't believe in medicine. They don't believe in doctors. They had a lot of child death. They believe in disciplining the child until they willfully submit to you. So that means if it's 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 spankings or whatever it is. I've seen children get hit 500 times. I wrote about that in a book. You get disciplined for the smallest little things. They do not believe in the American flag. If you go to any kind of event, which you're not supposed to, but I was already a father out of this situation, and I still took my father to, as a father, I took my children to an event, a logging show, whatever, and they saluted an American flag. No, you do not salute an American flag. You do not stand up.
What's the reason for that?
Well, their interpretation is you're not supposed to pledge allegiance to anything but besides God. So you sit down and be boisterous. You are not patriotic whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's always long closed. Like the media has hit and reeled across the country all over what happened down there in Texas. These people dress pretty much the same way. They're similar. Children get taken from their home. I saw that. No cars of bright colors. No sports cars, no limousines, no Cadillacs, no nothing like that. It's got to be a simple life, very simple. Darker colors in clothing, darker colors in cars. You do not use the color gold. Gold is out, even on doorknobs or anything in the home.
Why is that?
Well, they twist description says that the Bible says that you're not supposed to wear gold. Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, plaiting or wearing of gold or whatever like that. Putting on of apparel. So, gold is mentioned. Oh, so they eliminate anything of that kind of sort.
Mm, okay.
There's no museums, no parade, no fair. Or museums, some of them, yes. But if there's any kind of video stuff, you got to move on. You can't stay for any of that. No fairs, no events, actually, if anything. You could go to the zoo. That's permissible. But all the different things, events that you see that a normal person lives, no internet. You can't be on the internet unless you have pastor's permission.
Now, why would anybody want to get involved in something like this?
Because the rules come on very, very slowly. When you come first on, they're on fire. They're on fire for God. They read the Bible. And so you get sucked into it from the loving kind of it because they have a very generosity. When I first started going, I had teenage children, the pastor from a different area, you can use the children, let them work, don't pay them anything, just let them work, because they're on vacation now, and so, just put them to work intentionally. Well, I had fun with them, too, and so forth, and, you need help with the lawn cutting? We'll help right now. If you need painting, whatever it is, I had money donated to me at first, so it's a purchase of your heart. basically slowly getting into it.
But you, as time went on, you clearly began to understand what was going on, didn't you?
Yes, yes. When I saw the murders and stuff like that.
Murders?
Which I would call murders.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
In a sense, okay, I was accused that that's not really murder. It's a free will, okay? There was an individual that fell off a scaffolding, dropped 20 feet, bust himself up pretty good. Within a month, I think, or something like that, he ended up having a hernia the size of a volleyball. Well, I would consider this murder. Other people said, well, it was just an accident. Two church brothers, well, they don't believe in divine healing, so they're not going to go to the doctor. They're not going to take any medicine for it. But two church brothers were going to push it back in. To me, that's a doctor thing. They tried pushing in, which ruptured a vessel, and he bled to death right there in front of the face. So I would call that murder, trying to do a doctor thing, and they're not, you know, trained for it or anything like that. Another thing was the 11-month-old girl that I knew the parents very well. They just allowed the 11-month, no doctors, no medicine. The child got sicker and sicker, and finally, about a week later, it died. Well, those two people went back and forth in and out of the jails and so forth. The law had them a little bit because how things happened. They were accused of homicide and so forth. I don't know what the status is right now. I've been out of it too long. So.
How long were you in?
I was in it about 7-8 years.
And by that time, you knew what was going on.
By that time, I knew. After about 4 years, uh-huh. I wanted to get out. Four years is when rules really started adding.
So why didn't you just go?
Because I told my wife, hey, I'd like to leave. I'd like to go back, move back up north. I was living in Kenosha, Wisconsin at the time. Mm-hmm. And I moved down from northwestern Wisconsin, up by Duluth area. I moved down, and I'd really like to go back. I still had the place. No, I'm not going.
No, who said that?
My wife, because she was already caught up in it.
Uh-huh.
And she says, no, this is the only one true thing. She gave me a whole list of rules of submitting to her, having my boys submit to her. I couldn't share information anymore to her. Went out to eat. By the next day, the pastor knew everything that we said, what we talked about, who we met, who, you know, we'd go back up north to my family or something like that. And anything that we talked, boom, was right back to the pastor again, so forth. So there's no secrets between the pastor and any of the members. The members will snitch on each other. So forth to keep in line. It's totally controlled by fear. So,
and you stayed in longer than
I
that,
I stayed in longer because I knew my family was going to be split up like that, and I stayed about another 3 years, and all of a sudden I didn't submit to their teachings. I bought my son an inhaler after I got tired watching him suffer. He has asthma, and I bought it over the counter, and that I started getting in trouble. You are not submitting to your wife. You know, if it's not a life or death situation, it is a life or death situation. Well, you should back up your wife. She doesn't really want that, you know, and so forth. And then finally, January came along, 2002. My mom died, and we went up north to bury her and came back. And right after that, I was argued that your wife needs to leave me because you're not backing her up. And March 2002, she took off on me.
Hmm. And she still belongs to this group.
She belongs to them, took five of my children with her.
All right. Now this church was denounced as a cult.
Yes.
Publicly denounced by whom?
Rick Ross, several newspapers across the country there. If you go to my website, skstory.com, from there I have it linked over to Rick Ross. He's a investigator for cults and so forth. He has several, conglomerates all the newspaper articles across the country, wherever it's written, of this cult, and he compiles it all in their bracket. And there were several papers all the way from Canada, California, so forth, that says the cult member, ex blah, 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 you know, pastor or church at odds with the law is one of the things. Child discipline reveals, you know, whatever, focus from the authorities. Children taken out of their home. Child's death, scrutiny, things like that, newspaper articles, various different ones, wrote it as a cult.
Yeah, one of the things you talk about is that children are beaten until they're black and blue.
Yes, I saw that many times. I saw one individual was black and blue from his waist down to his back and knees. I wrote about that, elaborated that pretty extensively in my book. I saw church members. I went to visit a church, a distant church. I was living in Wisconsin, went down to Indiana, Ohio. It was in Ohio at the same group. And children, I saw as Sunday school came around, after Sunday school, all the little children had to say their Bible verse in front of the stage. And I saw them whipped and beaten, so forth, taken out in the back, hit to make to say their Bible verse. I sat behind the pastor's wife in the Kenosha church and saw them smack dowels, little tiny wooden sticks, smack them across the back of the hand. I thought that was pretty cruel. I am not opposed to discipline. There's very many forms of discipline. But when a child gets black and blue, like that, I believe that's into the abuse area. And I saw that a lot. I heard about it a lot. My wife went and changed the pastor's, one of their children's diapers. She comes back, I guess we're not too far off. You know, we're not too extreme seeing our children black and blue. She says, O'Shea's little child, whatever the name was, he's black and blue too. And so it was a common thing.
All right, hold on a second, Bernard, if you will. Bernard Tucholsky, how do you pronounce your name really?
Tucholsky.
Oh, okay. Bernard Tucholsky, Inside a Cult. It's called Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. Those of you who have questions, of course, there are other cults we've known about, some of which have been regarded by law enforcement as being outside the law, and some that are just inside the law, and I assume this is one of those. With Bernard or Bernie Tucholsky, Inside a Cult. It's called Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. Now, when did you decide to get out of this cult, this church?
Well, I wish I could have gotten out in about 2000, but it didn't, or actually about 99, but I got out of it in 2002. When I came home, my wife was gone. So that was pretty much the end of it. Went to the pastor's door to get some answers, and they opened the door, saw it was me, got, slammed the door in my face. So.
Did you get a lawyer?
Yes, I did. I got the first lawyer. The court is still pending going on. I had one judge say, oh, he doesn't see any child support. But besides, he was beat with sawed-off golf clubs when he was a child and so forth. So I believe what's happening, you made a comment just before you left, just under the law.
Yeah.
It's how they respond, how they manipulate the system, like the baby in California. That one was, they says, we didn't realize how sick the child was. They knew how sick the child was. I was there. I was in the meetings and stuff like that when we had the, you know, day-by-day play-by of what was going back. The baby's getting sicker. The baby's getting sicker. The baby could even die. We need to get a hold of God. Let's get all everybody on their knees and everybody pray at the same time, because, you know, and that's the only medicine the child ever got. I was there, so it was not an accident. There was an old man that died in the house that I was living in. I was living in the assistant pastor's house when I first moved down, and this 80-year-old man lived downstairs, evidently had a stroke. They put him in bed. He was paralyzed for a little while, finally came out of the coma and started talking. I remember, water, 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 you know, and so they'd spoon him a teaspoon of water and he'd throw it back up, teaspoon him another one, he'd throw it back up. He couldn't keep it down. All he needed is IV. They finally just, you know, 2 weeks later, the man died. Well, dehydration is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the authorities came. Oh, yeah, before the authorities come, get Bernie's children all out of the house, took them next door to the pastor's house. And then the authorities showed up, and the question was asked, why didn't you call 911 any sooner? Instead of answering, well, we don't believe in medicine, we don't believe in doctors, and if we would have called you, would have tried CPR, we don't believe in CPR, we intentionally let the body cool down for an hour before we call 911. So when the question was asked, why didn't you call 911 any sooner? Well, he was breathing heavy that night, it seemed like a little different, finally, you know, he just elaborated every single detail, every single feeling, the church had to be called together, and he made the answer about 5 minutes later that a little time must have slipped by. No, we sat there for one whole hour before we finally called 911, just so the CPR could not be done.
Just so it could not be done?
Could not be done, because CPR is medicine, doctors, and we do not believe in doctors and medicine.
I see.
So,
and where does that come from?
Well, in the book of James, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them be prayed for and anointed, and the healing of, or the prayers of the sick, or prayers of the faith or saved, whatever shall save the sick. And so they take that. It doesn't say doctors. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say that. So I said, yeah, and if you fell through the ice, it doesn't say get out of the ice, out of the water. You die of hypothermia. Don't put on a coat. Don't get in dry clothes, you know. Hey, just pray for them. And so they didn't like me for that. And they said my wife needed to leave me.
Uh-huh. And so you say you have you went and got a lawyer right away, I assume, for child custody?
Yes.
Yes.
And I failed. My lawyer, about halfway through, all of a sudden called me in the middle of the day, says, I need to talk to you. Come in and says, we cannot talk then. I believe, I'm pretty convinced that there was money on their table somehow, that the cult, when the baby died in California, there was a bond for those two people. They got arrested, thrown in jail, husband, wife. I knew them before they were married. It was a bond like $1 million or something to release. And the church quickly got an attorney, boom, boom, boom. They said, how can you consider these as high-class criminals, you know? You got to lower the bond, and I think it came down to $80,000. Within a few days, the church had that money. They second-mortgaged their houses and so forth. So, no, they helped their people out to death.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help it out to death and, you know, facetious or whatever you want to call it, too. But, no, they'll help them out all the way, and the church, the cult, whatever, paid, I believe, for my ex's divorce and all that stuff, and paid extra, I believe, to the attorney.
In other words, they had a good attorney.
Yes, they had a very good attorney, and I believe that there was money under the table that went all the way to the judge. I really do.
Well, that'd be hard to prove, I'm sure.
It's hard to prove inside information that, yes, every attorney in Kenosha could be bought, and has been bought, was a comment that was made by official, but it's all confidential. And okay, thanks for the info. I can't say anything, though. So, okay.
Oh.
So my suspicion is correct. Well, he looked the other way, and okay.
Well, there's certainly other towns in
yes.
Wisconsin, I'm sure.
Yes.
With
yes.
good attorneys.
Yes, and I could never. I went down, dropped down into Chicago, found the best attorney that I thought I could find, you know, down there. He said, yeah, $20,000 to get the case started.
Yeah.
I don't have $20,000. Went over to Madison, talked to an attorney there. He said, yeah, $20,000 to get the case started. It just seemed like I was up against that all the time. Just $20,000 or so is approximate price range for my case. And right now, I'm going to college for paralegal, so I'll see if I can dig out the information myself.
Huh. So how long has this been since that all happened?
2002. 7 years, I have not seen my children since last August.
Uh-huh.
And that was only for a few minutes when they refused to come with me. Drove from Wisconsin all the way down to Ohio to get them, had a sheriff escort there just to make sure that nothing happens, that I don't get arrested or anything. And they just refused, and I got the sheriff's report that, they refused to go with their dad, and that's what I have presented in front of the court. Well, you don't have sufficient proof. Sufficient proof? What? So I'm fighting a lost battle there.
Huh.
And on my sixth judge, nobody wants to touch the case. But take, I think what happens is I'm not getting a fair shake. Okay, fine. So I started the website, SKSstory.com, or actually ScrewedKenoshaStyle.com, and elaborate all the dirty laundry, everything that was said, all my transcripts, all my documents, any kind of motions I file, I throw that all on the website. What's going on? I take the CCAP, on each individual has a CCAP of all the crimes they commit. I put that on my website. It's long and extensive and everything like that. And as soon as the judge sees that, they get scared and they get off the case. I refuse. I recuse off the case. And the next person takes it. And he's so scared and timid and all of a sudden just throw him in jail. So I was in jail for 3 months,
Now, why were you in jail?
Because I paid $18,000 in the first 22 months. They took my figures off my gross receipts. I do tree cutting, and if I take a tree down for you, a huge tree or several trees or something, I quote you $1,000. It takes maybe about $500 for rental equipment, different things like that, just to take the tree down. How much did I make? $500. No, you made $1,000, and so they based my child support on $1,000. Well, in that case, it was over $400 a week, and according to IRS and the banks and stuff, they considered me always at about $20,000 after expenses. Nope, you made 40. Boom. So I got slammed for 40. I couldn't keep up with it. I paid $18,000 in 22 months. Nope, contempt of court. So I went to jail. So, and when I came out, everything is in repossession. Everything is collected in collections. I got collection calls to this day. Credit dropped down to 430 points. I brought it up to 500 and some right now, but I can't get a borrow, can't loan for anything. So the battle continues. the battle continues. And so I wrote the book to warn other people that's out there, they're constantly fishing, constantly searching for individuals that they can get into it. They go to churches as part of their program. They go to other churches, sit in there.
What made you get involved in this in the first place?
Because in the beginning, like I said, it was very, very loving.
No, why? I know the process how, but why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because in the first time, they were a conservative church. I was in a conservative church myself, and non-denominational. It was just a community church. And all of a sudden, my cousins told me, hey, there's a man that keeps coming up, you know, that, oh, he speaks good and stuff like that. So I went and seen it. It was pretty nice. And next thing, he's loaning out his children to my place, and he'd need to come to a camp meeting. I wouldn't go to the camp meeting. I couldn't afford it. Oh, we'll pay for it. The church paid for the whole thing. We went down to the camp meeting down in Ohio, and nice, very generous, very kind. We didn't have to pay for any of the food, nothing, nothing. No. This is on us, everything like that. And it slowly progressed into it, and yeah, and so the next thing, we had a minister up there in northern Wisconsin, and finally he saw the light. He's no longer in the system, and then we had to move. My wife said, we got to move. I had a little apprehension, but I couldn't pinpoint on anything at that point yet. It was not until I moved down to Kenosha, all of a sudden, wait a minute. I saw the old man die, and how the pastor said, well, and give 5 minutes to answer the question. You know, the truth was, we let the body cool down. And so I started guessing, this is not the right place for me. I'd like to get out of it. And I approached my wife. I said, I'd really like to move back up north. There's nothing up there. We can't be isolated. And finally, I'm not moving. And so then I was stuck in there for about another 2-3 years, did the best I could, and trying to find a chance to get out of it, but I could never do it. So when I came home, she was gone.
Yeah, I suppose what puzzles me is why anybody would get involved in a church when they already have one.
Mm-hmm.
To do what? I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
What were you trying to get that
I
you didn't already have?
Hindsight is 20/20.
Well, no, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. But you knew your mindset at that moment, no doubt.
Yes, yes.
What was it that you were lacking?
Okay, what I was basically lacking is maybe the church I was in was more of a Mennonite flavor and had that kind of general attitude. And the church that I saw when I went to Ohio, and you could have more like it, was more not so many of those facial views at that time. All the other things, all the vests and black and white kind of generated after I joined it. The teachings, the liveliness. The one that I had been going to was more of a monotone and just constant. And here there was a little bit of excitement and so forth. And so it was attractive to me. And my wife, too, she really liked it. The songs were alive. There was special. There was actually like an organization instead of just, you know, 20 people meeting for Sunday. And so it seemed like a step up. And I, yeah, okay, let's go for it a little while. And the next thing, we had to move. And once I moved, then I realized I'd made a mistake.
I can understand, you know, I mean, I clearly, for whatever reason, one that mm-hmm. I've witnessed in my own life, although personally mm-hmm. it's never affected me, but mm-hmm. this desire, this absolute need to have some religious organization.
True.
You know, where somebody tells you what you should think.
Mm-hmm.
There are political machines that do the same thing. I'm just wondering, you know,
yeah.
you seem like a reasonable guy in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. At first, it was not a forced issue. That's the catch. Because when all of a sudden I started looking around, you want to fit in. The thing why cults are working, why gangs are working, you know, is to the feeling of belonging. A person wants to belong, wants to be accepted, wants to be in his little niche there. Oh, yeah, this is so-and-so. This is Bernie, you know. And except it was Brother Bernie, you know. And you became like a celebrity, and it's a pulling force. It's a pulling force that draws you into it. There was a bigger acceptance there than at that little tiny church that had 20 people, including children. And so, yeah, okay. you know, a lot of young people, and the children had more friends and so forth, and so we made a transition. Yes, was it a correct decision? No, it was not. That's when the life, well, life was great for about 4 years, and then I found out more and more rules. Every time we came to a camp meeting, the pastors had their meeting, and they came up with new rules. No truck driving jobs because you're too long away from the family. No working in any place that deals with cigarettes. No, you know, pretty soon you couldn't work in a convenience store. You couldn't work here, there. Families were being busted up. I started watching it. Started watching how people got peer pressure. One little teenager, because she didn't quite perform the way she did, I saw 2-3 ministers in the same room ridiculing her, putting her in tears. I kind of looked through a tiny little crack. What's going on? Oh, so-and-so is in there. And I saw that quite often, situations breaking up. No courting, no dating. I saw the assistant pastor's daughter and the pastor's son. They secretly did some courting behind scenes, passed notes to each other. Well, it was found out. Assistant pastor's daughter was shipped out to California in a hurry. So,
That means what? They have their church all over the country?
Yes. They have it in California. They have it in Colorado. I think they have a little bit there. They have Oklahoma, quite a bit of it, Texas, Indiana, Ohio, Canada, a couple places, 3 places, actually. They used to have it in Washington. They broke off from it. But, no, they travel back and forth across the country. They're international, too, Mexico, Germany, various different countries, Philippines. And they travel across the country, might meet you on a plane and start talking to you. Or they might meet you in the church and come visit your church. And when they're there, all of a sudden they realize that, hey, you're a serious guy. You're interested and stuff. Like, hey, what's your name? Boom, next thing they find out your name. Do you live right here in town? Oh, you live in Denver. Okay. So as soon as we're out of your sight, we write down this information, so-and-so from Denver. We go in a phone book. We look it up. Oh, there you're listed. Boom, you got the address. Within a month or so, you'll be getting the gospel trumpets. And
the what?
The gospel trumpet.
What is
the literature.
The
literature.
Okay.
That they propagate. And so then pretty soon you get that information, you start reading. Hey, yeah, I don't know where this came from. Well, it came from the visit that you gave your name and your address, or you gave your name and where you live approximately.
Uh-huh.
And that's where that comes from. They infiltrate and cut people out. It was from all the years, I'm almost 50 years old, I'm 48 years old, and through all the years that I went through, they were the most kindest, outreaching, trying to influence you, help you, and most generous of all the other people. But they were the most hateful people as far as shunning, ridiculing, obnoxious type of characteristics. If a person does not want to go with their program, they are very outreaching, very trying to be getting people on their side, deceptive in a sense. I saw them being the most prominent, too.
All right, hold on.
A lot of things, but I regret that I never joined them. And so I wrote a book basically to inform people of what's going on, to how you might have to be captivated. And if you know the whole story, everything about them, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Then if you make a decision you want to go for it, go for it.
Well, you know, I've witnessed this sort of thing about, you know, religion and the fervor of the faith, but you know, I always thought, you know, how much of you is you?
Yeah.
How much of you wants to have any decision making process in your own life?
Yeah. And that gets eroded away as time goes along.
Only if you allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they try to
get in between you and use that as a lever, but
yeah.
Again, only if you can allow it.
True.
You know, and since I've seen that before, I've always been more than a little wary of such things. Hold on a second, Bernie. We'll take another quick break. We'll pick it up where we left off. 303-713-8. Back again with Bernie Tucholsky, and Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult is the name of the book. You just wrote this in the last year, is that right, Bernie?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I worked on it extensively. It just got published October 31st.
Have you heard from any members of the church?
Oh, not so much from the church, but people that are very, very close, working with those people, everything like that. I get emails from them, says, hey, I got to remain anonymous. Your book helped me explain a lot of those situations. The people come to work, they want to propagate their little literature and so forth, and thank you for writing the book.
All right, now, you say a reporter, you say publicly denounced this as a cult.
Investigator.
A reporter?
Yes.
Or a cop?
I believe it's a reporter. Another thing along those lines is a psychologist or a psychiatrist that I gave the information to. Here's the news articles, here's their videos, tapes, different things about the cult, which I installed on my website and so forth. And she looked evaluated, and once she saw the tapes and says, no. I made my thesis to get my psychiatrist a master thesis for a master's degree or something like that. She says, I made that on religious abuse and cults. And I have probably more research, understanding. I read every single book on cults. Yes, I am very familiar with your situation here. She says, at first it seemed kind of flaky, the information I was handing to her, but at the end she gave me a report, and I threw that on my website, too. She says, no, this is definitely falls in a bracket of religious abuse, and pretty clear that it probably is a cult until she does some more research. So I needed that paper for the court system, but by that time the case was already kind of like closed or in a limbo, or the tree has fallen already to the right, so it will remain to the right, and there's not much you can do to turn it around to make it turn to the left. So it's a challenge. It's a battle in the courtrooms right now.
Hmm. Now, in the eyes of the law, this is still a church.
It is still considered a church. I do not think they have a 501c, because every year that I went, I was involved with it for 8 years. During those 8 years, I hardly ever got a receipt. All the campgrounds, all the thing is pretty much either check or cash, but I never received a receipt for it at the end of the year for deductions or anything like that. I believe they are not registered as a 501c.
Which means what in the eyes of the law?
501c is that they are a nonprofit organization listed as a church. Okay, it is not listed as a church, I don't believe. They might have changed since then, which is actually in the form illegal.
What do you mean?
Illegal in a sense, anybody can. You and I and five of our neighbors could all get together and we have a church. We can call that. But as soon as it starts getting bigger, as soon as you start getting tax money, well, we'll use it our, call it a non-free, we need to have a 501c filing or with the federal government or something like that, that it's a church, that our money is tax deductible and so forth. I donate $500 to this little building here and we're going to use it as a church. I can not legally write it off, I don't think, until we have 501c contributions and so forth. If it was research, who did you give it to, which one, da-da-da. You know, if I gave it to a politician, it's tax deductible. If I give it to a church, it's not listed. It's not tax deductible as far as I know. I do not have all the research on that. So if you give it to a regular church that has a 501c listing, then it is deductible.
So, but they are. You say they're not officially a church under the IRS code.
At the time, no. If they've changed since I've left, that's been 7 years already. Then it might be. There's things that they were doing fishing. Homeschooling is not permissible in Wisconsin. However, they were calling we homeschooled, but then it finally became our church schooling. We'd take them to the church. My wife would take my children to the church, and we'd split up the children, and the older children would be taught by the assistant pastor's wife, or the pastor's wife, and which also disciplined my boys and stuff, beat them. And then the younger ones, my wife would teach, which is a private school then. Homeschooling is permissible in the state of Wisconsin. Private school is not, unless you have certified teachers and it's listed as a, you know, as a schooling. Well, they just continue doing, sign the papers with the government and so forth that, yes, we are homeschooling. But technically it was not. So there's a lot of loopholes, a lot of fine situations. I have a witness where an individual saw the head pastor take money out of the plate to buy himself a sweater. You do not commingle funds like that unless there's a track record somewhere where the money goes to.
Hmm.
That happens often in that system. At the time, anyway. If they changed since 2002, I do not know. But at that time, this is what I experienced. And it took about 5 years to come out of the system. I'm still not out of the system. It's still sometimes I just ponder and I have to look at reality. No, this was not right. You know, did I leave the one true church? No. You know.
Well, why would? Well, yeah, I got to tell you, is there really one true church?
They claim that it is.
I know they do. I'm asking you.
Okay, my beliefs, are you looking for my beliefs? My beliefs is every saved individual that has accepted Jesus Christ for the personal Savior is the one true church. It doesn't matter if they're in a Catholic church, Lutheran church, Baptist church, Methodist church, Presbyterian, it does not matter. It is their relationship with Jesus Christ that is the church. That is my opinion of it.
Well, that seems to be a reasonable interpretation.
Yes.
In other words, you've actually made up your own mind now.
That is what I know, that is what I believe, and that was part of the friction.
Well, you don't have to convince me. I believe you. And what I'm saying is you finally made up your own mind.
Oh, yes.
Well, good. Good. One more break here, Bernie. Don't go away. Mm-hmm. And we'll pick it up where we left off. Bernie Tucholsky with us. His book is called Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. Again with our guest, Bernie Tucholsky, and Inside a Cult. Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. So your lawsuit is hung up for the lack of funds. The church is pretty much still trucking on as a church, more or less.
True.
And you decided to get away as best you could, only because your wife was, you know, effectively taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And now this 7 years on, have you decided once and for all that no more of this noise?
As far as religion, as far as...
Well, any kind of group like this that tells you how to think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, good.
That is past. As soon as I feel control, I get scared, and a cat that jumps on a hot stove won't jump on a hot stove, but he'll not jump on a cold one either. So, no, I do go to church. I have a little community church that I go to. I just was there yesterday, and I enjoy it. There's a difference between religion and Christianity, control, and just nice, straightforward... There's a lot of good places out there. So the book, during the tough times, basically I have a benefit. I cannot put pictures or their literature in my book without their permission. I would never get it. So my website and the book are complementing each other. The website is kind of chaos a little bit. You know, you got to search and dig and trying to find the answers and stuff like that, where the book is kind of like a chronology
yeah.
Ordered as it comes along, as it developed and so forth. And
All right. We're up against the clock on this one, Bernie. SKSStoryOneWord.com. And also the book is available, is it not? Torn Asunder is available on bookshelves, or do you have to go online to get it?
No, it's Barnes & Noble's, Borders, all the different bookstores, Amazon.com. Everybody handles it. Quite often they do not stock it yet, but it's available.
All right, very good. Well, Bernie, good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
It was a delight.
Indeed, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, so don't join a church where somebody tells you how to think. In fact, don't join anything that tells you how to think.